How do you do? Identical twins may look alike, but they often struggle to forge a separate identity, each one rejecting what the other has accepted. In that manner, the twin brothers in this story achieved a sense of uniqueness only to face a new identity crisis, one that challenged everything they knew, one that could only be resolved when their hearts and minds and lives were unshackled. Bringing you dramatic true life stories that proclaim the good news, this is Unshackled, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. No wonder Pacific Garden Mission is known as the old lighthouse. For more than 120 years now, street people have been coming through the doors that never close to find the one who never slumbers. They come with all kinds of baggage from their past, fears, addiction, bad attitudes. Some haven't worked in years or changed their clothes in weeks, and a few haven't eaten for days. Folks at the mission offer food, clean clothing and showers, a bunk for the night, and these simple acts of kindness give the homeless hope. The mission offers a reading program, job counseling, and Bible study, as well as other services to help them regain a feeling of worth. But the real change comes when they meet the light of the world. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2456 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
You've gone too far, Larry.
You don't understand,
Dad. I do understand. You're just like your mother, trying one thing after another.
It's not like that at all.
It is. First, you drop out of college to live with that girl. Then when she gets pregnant, you let her get an abortion instead of marrying her. What's wrong with you?
I didn't even know the baby was mine. I couldn't see bringing a child into a situation like that.
You should have thought of that beforehand.
I know, Dad, I know. But it's too late now. It's done.
And it's too late to reverse what you've done with your business?
Yes.
You finally do something worthwhile with your life, and then you go and blow it because of some wacky idea.
Dad, I...
Don't expect any help from me, Larry. You're on your own from now on. No more talk about Jesus in my house.
Dad!
No son of mine would do what you've done. What did I do wrong?
Last week, we met twin brothers born into a Reformed Jewish family in Philadelphia. From childhood, the separate cords of their identities intertwined, diverged, and crossed. One dreamed of a medical career, the other wanted to be a millionaire. Each faced the greatest identity crisis in his life. In this conclusion of a two-part story, Larry and David Silver tell how they were unshackled.
I don't know why, Dave, but I just couldn't seem to find my niche in life, whereas you never wavered in your desire to be a doctor.
I think we both struggled for a couple of years after the folks divorced.
Well, they always thought education was important, and it is, but it isn't the most important thing. Neither is money, though I thought so when I dropped out of college to make my fortune.
Selling portraits in shopping malls?
That was just to pay the bills till I got the music business going. But look where it led. That's how I met the couple that changed everything.
We're in no hurry. We can wait.
Boy, that's unusual. Most people are impatient and rude.
Everyone is special, so why not treat them that way?
There's something different about you two. What is it?
Well, you're right. There is something different about us. How could you tell?
Well, I meet people all day long, so it's obvious there's something out of the ordinary about you.
What's your religious background?
Whoa, I've been through this before. I'm Jewish. Is this going to be some religious scam or what?
Well, what exactly is the hope of a Jewish person?
I don't know what you're getting at, but I believe in God, and I'm the best person I know how to be.
Well, from our understanding of the Old Testament, a Jewish person is waiting for the Messiah to come.
Yeah, the next thing you're going to tell me is you believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah.
That's true.
Look, I've been on the street a few years. Now, tell me what it is that's different about you two.
You've hit the nail on the head. We've put our faith in Jesus Christ, and we're not the same people we were before. We're living by His power and His strength.
Look, that's great for you, but I just can't believe that.
We challenge you to pray to your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and just to ask Him whether Jesus Christ is the Jewish Messiah.
Well, I thought about what they said when I went back to my motel room that night. As I flipped on the TV, a Christian program was on, and the first thing they said was, "We know some Jews are watching tonight, and the Bible tells us that you're a stiff-necked and stubborn people. So we challenge you to pray to your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and ask him if Jesus is the Messiah." That made me angry, so I turned off the TV and I said, "God, I'm a Jew, but I don't believe in Jesus. If he really is the Jewish Messiah, he's going to have to come and show himself to me since we Jews are so stubborn and stiff-necked." Well, soon afterward, I called you and your roommate Dwayne and shared how it had been revealed to me that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Remember, Dave?
Larry, why do you care if some guy on TV calls Jews a stubborn and stiff-necked people?
Because he was the second guy in one day to say that, Dave. I mean, that's no coincidence. I think God was trying to communicate with me.
God is always trying to communicate with us. That's why he gave us the Bible.
Yeah, but somehow the Bible has always been, well, general. You know, directed at everyone. I want God to make himself real to me.
Well, he did, in the person of Jesus. How much more real can he make himself than to become a man and die for your sins?
Aw, oh, come on, everybody sins.
Exactly. That's why we need a Savior. The Bible says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." 1 John chapter 3, verse 8.
All I know is God got my attention.
Your experience was intriguing, Larry, but I was too busy to give it more than a passing thought. I was in my junior year then, desperately trying to get my grades up so I could get into medical school. But I did attend a Bible study that my roommates, Dwayne and Joe, were leading. My girlfriend began to wonder about me.
Did you go to that Bible study tonight?
Yes, it's interesting, but I don't go along with their conclusions.
Why bother going, then?
They're my friends, for one thing. For another, I'm curious about their beliefs. Dwayne changed so much after he became a Christian, from party animal wild man to a very kind person. You have to wonder about that kind of transformation.
Are they trying to convert you from Judaism?
Not exactly, but no matter what we study, the conclusion is always the same. You have to accept Jesus to be forgiven for your sins. The emphasis is on him.
A lot of Jewish people won't even talk about Jesus. You're very open-minded, Dave.
Well, my mother was open to exploring other faiths. She used to take us to Baha'i feasts. Dad stuck with Judaism, though.
What do you really think of Jesus?
He was no ordinary man, that's for sure. But my roommate believes he was God and man in one person. And that's too much for me. I can't believe that. You and I had been competitive for years, Larry. But we had gone separate ways in college and didn't see as much of each other, especially after you dropped out to work. So I was glad when your job brought you near the college and you stayed with us at the fraternity house for 2 weeks. We went out to eat and catch up on the latest, remember?
I've been reading the New Testament for a year now, Dave.
Oh, you're kidding, you?
Yeah, ever since God got my attention.
Oh, that's interesting. I've been going to Dwayne and Joe's Bible study.
What do you think?
I don't believe it. How about you?
I'm giving it serious consideration.
Huh.
I met several Christians who explained their faith, but I don't trust anyone when it comes to God but God himself. That's why I decided to read the Bible.
You really think it's true?
Jesus is so compelling, Dave. In one of the Gospels, a critic says, "You speak as one having authority," and it's true. He speaks like God, with truth and power, yet there's so much compassion and mercy in what he says and does. If I'd been alive then, I'd have followed him around too, just like one of those disciples.
You always would try anything.
Well, this is different, Dave. There's something in us that hungers to know God.
Can you imagine what would happen if you decided to believe in Jesus? You'd have to change your whole life. You'd be an outcast.
Yeah, Dad would not be happy about it. On the other hand, if Jesus really is the Messiah, how could you turn away from him? I didn't tell you then, Dave, what had happened 6 months earlier, but later that week, while you were in class, I had a long talk with your roommate, Dwayne, and told him. Dwayne, I told a girl I was dating how God made himself real to me, and she laughed at me. She didn't believe it. So that night I prayed. I said, God, I really think maybe there is something to Jesus. If you would just come back to me in the same way, I would really believe and surrender my life to Jesus.
You remind me of Gideon putting out a fleece. Remember that from the book of Judges?
Yes. One night he asked God to let the fleece be wet and the ground dry. When God did, Gideon still wasn't sure. So the next night, he asked God to let the fleece be dry and the ground wet. And God did.
That's the trouble with asking God for a sign. The temptation is to want yet another sign instead of trusting God at his word.
I guess I'm weak in my faith, but God met me where I was at.
God can take the smallest amount of faith and move mountains, Larry. And your second prayer was a plea instead of a challenge. You were demonstrating faith.
Anyway, he answered me in the same way. So I knew I had to make a decision because I promised him I would. So I surrendered my life to him in prayer, and I asked him to forgive me for my sins and give me the gift of eternal life.
That's wonderful, Larry. You followed through on your commitment. That was the right response.
I know it was. I felt different right away. I haven't felt driven to prove myself since then, and I haven't been lonely either.
God is with you.
Well, I'm back from fighting dragons, and I think the dragon won.
Dave, I'm a born-again Christian now.
What? How could you do that?
In a moment, we'll learn how Larry's decision affected Dave and the family. Homeless men who come to Pacific Garden Mission know that the toughest hill to climb is getting out of a rut, and many have given up trying. They can't overcome the destructive habits and attitudes that keep them down. It isn't true that they don't want to change. The truth is, they can't, not on their own. And that's why the old lighthouse was founded more than 120 years ago, and that's why the doors have never closed. The mission provides a place for these men to start fresh. There are Bible studies to help them examine their lives and make better choices. Job placement services help them take responsibility for their lives, and most do. Mission converts are in great demand because of their honesty and hard work. What really makes a difference in a man's life, though, is coming face to face with what he is and what he lacks. Mission counselors take them by a way they have not known to a place where they can wipe the slate clean and have new life. Those who accept this incredible gift are lifted out of the rut of deception into the truth. To learn more about the Men's Division, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
Larry, I've been looking into this for 2 years, and I'm not convinced about Jesus.
God has always been obvious to us, right?
Yes, we've always been aware of his existence.
Well, now Jesus is obvious. Dwayne shared a bridge illustration with me, and now I understand the work of Christ.
Whoa, a bridge illustration?
Man is separated from God by a huge gulf of sin, right?
I've already said I'm a sinner. Most of us are.
All of us are, Dave. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all."
God says the penalty for sin is death, so he sent Jesus to pay the penalty for us. His death on the cross was for our sins. If you believe he died for your sins and accept him as your Savior, then God no longer sees you as a sinner.
Jesus is the bridge to God. The only way to cross over to God is over the cross. Any other way will fall short.
That's hard to accept.
But Dave, God's the creator. He has the right to set the rules. And he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Look, Dave, Dwayne showed me John chapter 5, verse 24, where Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Larry's faith calmed my fears of being an outcast in the family, but I still struggled with making a commitment. I wanted to, but couldn't. A week later, feeling emotionally distraught about it, I collapsed on my bed and prayed before falling asleep. God, I'm beginning to believe Jesus is who he says he is. If all the things I've studied with Dwayne and Joe is true, would you reveal the truth to me?
Morning, Dave.
I've been looking for you, Dwayne. Can you come into the room? There's something I want to tell you.
Sure.
I received Christ last night as my Savior.
Praise the Lord, Dave. Come on, tell me about it.
Well, I prayed before I went to sleep, and I had a dream that helped me understand Jesus as God and man. I now realize that he's the Messiah. He is the one who takes us from the kingdom of darkness to his kingdom of light. When I woke up, I prayed and asked him for his gift of salvation. I received a feeling of peace like I've never known.
That's the power and presence of the Holy Spirit.
But it's odd. I seem more aware of evil now.
Well, Satan will try to rob you of God's peace and make you doubt your salvation. You need to base your faith on God's word, not a dream, okay?
You're right.
Take a look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 to 13. You read.
He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Memorize those verses, Dave. No one can take your salvation away from you. No one.
Boy, is my life gonna be different from now on. That was an understatement. Neither of us realized that when you walk with the Lord, you have to take big steps. Right away, I began going to church with Dwayne and was baptized that year. Meanwhile, your life was changing too, Larry, but in a different way. You had gone back to college, and I was helping you move one day.
Dave, did I tell you Dad's coming over to help?
Oh, good. Do you think he's getting over our commitment to Christ?
He's doing better. He thinks it's just a phase we're going through.
He wrote me a letter saying he was deeply disappointed. I told him and Mom I was wrong for any disrespect I had shown them. I told them I loved them.
Well, Mom seems to accept our decision. Oh, there he is now. Oh. Come on in, Dad. We were just talking about you.
Something good, I hope.
Well, my grades are up, Dad. I knew you'd be glad for me. I may yet get into medical school.
Oh, that's wonderful, Dave. Classes are getting tougher at this stage.
Yeah, but the Lord is helping me study better.
Yeah, breaking up with your girlfriend helps, too.
Well, I spend more time with the books now. I didn't think God was pleased with that relationship, so I broke it off.
Did you see my ad on TV, Dad?
I sure did. I'm really proud of you, Larry, and so is your mother.
You wait and see. I'll be a millionaire before you know it. Silver Sound DJs. It's going to be a nationwide chain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing so well, I'm going to drop out of school and run the company full time.
Again? Are you sure that's wise?
Why should I study what I'm already good at?
God resists the proud but exalts the humble, Larry.
Hey, I know God has blessed me, and I'm grateful. But he also likes men who aren't afraid to go out and do battle. Look at Joshua.
Ugh. I'm glad you still remember your Jewish heritage.
Jesus was a Jew, Dad. We haven't left our Judaism. We're just following the Messiah.
And the more I read, the more I see him throughout the Bible. When Adam fell, God promised to redeem mankind. And that's what Jesus did. He came to set us free of sin and death.
The Messiah is supposed to usher in a kingdom of peace.
And he does. Within the heart, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you.
Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, he comes to stay, and so does his peace. Well, that's how we know we have eternal life.
I wouldn't trade knowing Jesus for anything, Dad. You should give him a chance.
I'm a Jew, son. And you would be, too, if your mother and I had insisted that you two go through your bar mitzvahs.
I think it was all part of God's plan for our salvation.
I was still living pretty much for myself, ambitious for the future, until one day in 1984, I visited you again, Dave, and you and your roommate, Dwayne, confronted me. You urged me to get more involved in my faith, so I completed a 10-week Bible study course, at the end of which I took my first big step.
You gave the business away?
I gave everything to our old buddy, since he helped me start it. Equipment, records, office, everything.
Oh, that's a radical decision. I'll bet he was shocked.
Yeah, the whole family was. It was a real testimony to the power of Christ, though.
What are you going to do now?
I want to serve the Lord with a ministry, counseling students.
I've never seen you so committed, Larry.
I want to help others know Christ from now on.
Have you told Dad?
Yes. He and Mom both think I'm crazy. Christianity has also affected my lifestyle, and they don't understand that at all. But they will eventually see the difference in me, and then they'll feel better about it.
I'm sorry, Larry.
Maybe they'll soften after a while.
They did soften and accept you, Larry. Meanwhile, I started medical school in Philadelphia, where I joined the Christian Medical Society. That's where I met and fell in love with Addie. She had finished seminary and was a third-year medical student when we were married, and I was starting my internship. We were both under pressure at work, so the first year of marriage, we argued a lot. The second year was no better. She was sensitive, warm, and idealistic. I was harsh, busy, and proud.
Ow, Dave! How could you do that to me?
Oh, grow up. I didn't hurt you.
You did! You're too rough sometimes. I'm not your brother, you know.
You knew I was in a hurry. Why didn't you help me?
The Bible says a husband should love his wife.
And a wife should respect her husband. I believe the word is actually reverence.
The exact reference is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
Well, do you?
Reverence you? Well, I'm working on it. What are we going to do when the baby comes?
What baby?
I think I'm pregnant.
I began to worry about raising children, knowing our marriage was struggling. I knew my own sin, but didn't deal with it by repenting of it. I was miserable. God is gracious, though, and always provides a way out of our dilemmas. Mine came through a man at the hospital who loved the Lord. The week our baby was born, he gave me 7 teaching tapes on prayer. And as I listened, I was convicted.
You seem quieter than usual, Dave.
I listened to those tapes Jacob gave me, and they really made me think.
The ones on prayer?
Yes. I've not prayed or obeyed the scriptures the way I should. Small wonder we've had problems. I'm so sorry for being so obstinate.
I don't think I could exist without a strong prayer life. Did you talk to the Lord about that?
I sure did. I'm learning to praise Him, and the more I praise Him, the more I repent of my selfishness.
Sounds good to me. The teaching must be very biblical.
It is, and I'll tell you something else. My attitude toward work is changing, too. Now I do it as unto the Lord.
I should remember that verse the next time I don't want to do something for you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men.
It really makes a difference. I've been proud and legalistic. I was not living by grace. There's one more thing, Addie. Will you forgive me for all the times I've mistreated you?
Wow, you really are changing. Of course I forgive you.
Marriage isn't easy, is it, Dave?
No.
Jen and I are celebrating our 10th anniversary, and it's wonderful, but you have to work at it.
It's just that we come into marriage with so many bad habits. If we follow God's way, it works just fine, but I keep slipping.
For example?
Well, as the children grew, we disagreed on child-rearing. Addie was ready to give up. Then I went to a men's retreat and cried out to God.
And he heard you?
He always does. When I got home from the retreat, the atmosphere was totally different.
He turns the hearts of the fathers to the children.
And the hearts of the children to the fathers.
I sure love my two sons.
I love my children, too. But the more you love God, the better you can love your children.
Dave, we're now 35. We've been brothers in Christ for 15 years now. What do you think has changed the most?
Our identities, Larry. Remember how we always were competing when we were growing up? I didn't want to be like you, and you didn't want to be like me, even though we look alike. But when I see you growing in Christ, becoming more like Him, I want that too.
What's changed the most in me is I don't trust myself.
I can see why.
Hey, watch it. I still remember some wrestling holds.
Don't try them with God. Jacob learned the hard way. It doesn't work.
I've tried. That's what I mean. I don't trust my reasoning, my intellect, not even my experience. God is teaching me to trust Him with everything that I am.
Come on, Larry. Dad's expecting us. Let's go see how he's doing.
Maybe one of these days, he'll be our brother in Christ.
In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Friend, that salvation is for you too. God is no respecter of persons. No sin is so great, no problem so entrenched that God cannot overcome. He is Lord of all. Take that step of faith and invite Him into your heart and life right now. If you need help in this vital decision, just get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. Spread the good news by telling others when and how to listen, and please remember to thank the manager of this station for broadcasting these true stories. You'll gladden our hearts if you'll write soon to say thanks for Unshackled. This is program number 2456. Heard in the true story of Larry and David Silver were James Snyder, Eric Bradley, Fred Stone, Kim Rasmussen, Christy Martins, and David Stewart. Original music, Lucille Becker. Sound, Nick Aloisio, engineer Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write today. We do look forward to hearing from you. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. We are here for you. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.